The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Clean energy, good jobs, union jobs. What the Department of Energy is doing, reaction from the President of the United Steelworkers. UAW sets a date for a union vote at Volkswagen in Tennessee. And today on the show, the latest from the Heat and Frost Insulators and the United Food and Commercial Workers. Welcome to the Wednesday, March 27th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. Our first guest is going to be Pete Almini, longtime supporter of America's Workforce. Pete handles the Mechanical Insulators, LMCT. That's a labor management trust. Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com, on behalf of the International Association of Heat and Frost Insulators. The main website, insulators, that's plural, insulators.org. We'll get an update on the Federal Mechanical Insulation Act, which does have bipartisan support, and this essentially would mean that over 300,000, actually 355,000 federal buildings will be retrofitted with mechanical insulation, which will save taxpayers money. You would think that this would be a no-brainer, but keep in mind we're dealing with members of Congress on that. The other issue we're going to get into is the insulators have launched an aggressive training program for officers all around the country to perform outreach on mental health issues. And this is a subject that is very near and dear to Pete. Pete says, we're not training officers to become actual counselors. That needs to be addressed by professionals. What they're doing is training their officers to be mindful and recognize mental issues, and then connecting them with the Insulators Members Assistance Program, or IMAP for short. And that program will offer all the locals outreach materials to do so. Very aggressive program, and Pete's going to lay it out as our first guest on the show. Later in the show, we're going to check in with LaToya Mathis. Now, LaToya is a representative at the Food and Commercial Workers Local 75. Website is ufcw75.org. And they're based in Dayton, Ohio. They have about 30,000 members in supermarkets, let's see, drugstores, food processing, packaging plants, healthcare facilities. And they stretch from Ohio to Indiana and Kentucky. LaToya is going to talk about the difference the union made for her as a young woman in the workforce. And the biggie, free college. Let me repeat that. Free college. That doesn't happen too often. But apparently, it's offered through the Food and Commercial Workers and also a mentorship program for women in her local. Again, that's a Local 75. She's going to talk about being a black female union rep and how she broke through the stigma of labor as a men's club. She's the perfect person to talk to about this, especially since March is Women's History Month. And here's another woman who's making history. And that woman is LaToya Mathis. And she'll be joining us later in the show on behalf of the Food and Commercial Workers Local 75. All right, now a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Big story out of Washington this week. The Energy Department announced up to $6 billion for 33 projects across more than 20 states to decarbonize energy-intensive industries and ultimately reduce industrial greenhouse gas emissions. Energy Secretary Jen Granholm told reporters in a call ahead of the announcement that when factoring in the company's share in the projects, she figures that investment would probably go to $20 billion. And this is what she said. These projects offer solutions to slash emissions in some of the highest emitting sectors of our economy, including iron and steel and aluminum, cement, concrete chemicals, food and beverages, pulp and paper. And together, these industries make up roughly a third of our CO2 emissions of our carbon footprint. Billed as the largest ever investment in decarbonizing industry, the projects funded by the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act will eliminate 14 million metric tons of pollution every year. And she says that is the equivalent of taking about 3 million gas-powered cars off the road. Wow. That's pretty significant. In Ravenswood, West Virginia, for instance, Constellium, which is a manufacturer of aluminum products, they will deploy a first-of-its-kind zero-carbon aluminum casting plant and could get about 75 mil in federal funding. The aluminum rolling facility, which is one of the largest in the world, supplies material to the aerospace, defense, marine, and transportation sectors. Then there's Kraft Heinz, the multinational food company that makes mac and cheese. They're going to get over $170 million to upgrade and electrify and decarbonize food production at 10 facilities nationwide, including in Holland, Michigan. Granholm said it takes a whole lot of heat to dry all that macaroni, which produces a whole lot of emissions. And so this project is going to deploy clean tech like heat pumps and electric heaters and electric boilers to slash those emissions by 99%. Granholm was in Middletown, Ohio this week visiting Cleveland Cliff Steel, America's largest flat road steel producer, where the company will be retiring a blast furnace and install two electric furnaces. Now, that project will receive up to $500 million in federal funding. She said this will slash emissions at the facility by 1 million tons of greenhouse gases each year, which means cleaner water, cleaner air for Middletown, Ohio. Altogether, nearly 80% of the projects are located in a disadvantaged community, as defined by President Biden's Justice 40 initiative, offering a significant opportunity to invest in good jobs in clean air communities that have experienced years of divestment. For instance, the Cleveland Cliffs project anticipates creating 170 permanent jobs and 1,200 temporary union construction jobs while preserving the site's existing 2,500 jobs, including 2,000 for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. This is huge. This is really huge. And we have a comment from Dave McCall. Dave, of course, the president of the United Steelworkers. Dave posted this yesterday. The USW is excited that the Biden administration is making these forward-thinking, transformative investments in our nation's manufacturing future and doing so in a way that puts workers, families, and communities first. These investments will allow companies to make needed upgrades and reduce pollution while also helping our manufacturing base compete globally. Dave goes on to say, as the largest union in many of the industries, these investments will support. The USW is proud to partner with companies to ensure that this funding from the Inflation Reduction Act will work to grow our nation's manufacturing capacity in critical industries while also reducing our carbon footprint. And he adds, we're pleased to see projects funded at our existing facilities, as well as paving the way for future workers to enjoy the benefits of unionization. Boy, don't we all want that. Dave McCall, president of the United Steelworkers. Now let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where more than 4,000 Volkswagen workers are set to vote in their union election next month, April 17th, 18th, and 19th. The National Labor Relations Board has scheduled the election and will oversee the secret ballot vote at the VW plant in Chattanooga. We're voting yes to win a better life for ourselves and our families, said Isaac Meadows, an assembly worker at VW. He went on to say, we need a say in our schedules, benefits, pay, and more. We're proud to work at Volkswagen, but we also know the value of a voice at work. Now, the workers filed for the election last week after a supermajority of them signed union cards. The workers reached a majority on cards in early February, and that was 2 months after launching their public campaign to join the union. The election, again, it'll start on April 17th and should wrap up on the 19th. It marks the latest breakthrough in a national movement of non-union auto workers organizing to join the UAW. Now, the movement was inspired by the record contracts UAW members won during last year's stand-up strike against the big three automakers. Over 10,000 non-union auto workers have signed union cards in recent months with public campaigns launched at VW, Mercedes, that's in Vance, Alabama, Hyundai in Montgomery, Alabama, Toyota in Troy, Missouri. Workers at more than two dozen other facilities are also actively organizing. And you could find a whole lot more on the UAW website. Very active website, I might add, uaw.org. And one more here regarding the UAW. This is primarily dealing with Local 2325, which represents legal aid attorneys. That local has accused the House of Representatives Committee of intimidating the union after it passed a pro-Palestine resolution which called for a ceasefire in Gaza. After the union passed the resolution, this was a majority vote, the House Committee on Education and Workforce sent the union a request for information and later a subpoena. This is the committee headed by Virginia Fox, who cannot stand unions. The ACLU of New York describes the House Committee's actions as a McCarthyite silencing tactic meant to chill workers' exercise of their rights of association and free speech. The union has objected to the committee's information requests, including requests for union meeting minutes and disciplinary records. It's amazing what they do. Just amazing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at IFPTE.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Alliance for American Manufacturing is a nonprofit, nonpartisan partnership formed back in 2007 by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers. Their mission is simple: strengthen American manufacturing and create new private sector jobs through smart public policies. Key word there is smart. We need to be smarter than ever in today's highly competitive world. The Alliance for American Manufacturing believes that an innovative and growing manufacturing base is vital to America's economic and national security, as well as providing good jobs for future generations. Good jobs today, good jobs tomorrow. Good American jobs. Find out more at AmericanManufacturing.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-Union.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our longtime contributors. That would be Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, where he oversees the Labor Management Trust. Website, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. We got lots to talk about today. Number one, going to get an update here on the Federal Mechanical Insulation Act. And even though Congress is in recess, Mr. Pete is working it. Pete Almini, how are we doing today, my brother?
Hey, how you doing today?
All right. So you got out of New Jersey. You're in Washington. You're going to meet with some staffers over there to deal with this Federal Mechanical Insulation Act. And, well, why don't you give us an update? How are we make? I would assume we're making some process here. I mean, I know how you work. I know you're very diligent on this thing, and you want to make sure you take this to the finish line. So it's all yours, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, you're very polite when you say diligent. Most people say I'm just impatient. But that's the process that has to happen here in D.C., especially with the bill that we're working on. There's a process, and our process is to be able to get bipartisan support, Democrat and Republican. And this week, I'm on Capitol Hill. I'm going to be visiting the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee, their staffers. Have several questions they want to run by me and vet out the information. So when I do present to the subcommittee with the representatives there, it's all well prepared. So positive, everyone that I speak with the legislative offices are very positive. Seems rare that Democrats and Republicans can agree on anything, but they agree that the Federal Mechanical Insulation Act is something that is good. And we're just going through the process of getting the support. We're up to 41 co-sponsors right now as we speak. And also this week I'll be visiting 12 other Republican offices, and hopefully we'll get their support to be able to had them become a co-signer. And all at the same time, we're working with Senator Markey from Massachusetts. They're going to probably present and offer the Senate companion bill for the Federal Mechanical Insulation Act. We're trying to get that done before the big legislative conference coming up in April. And we really like to be able to announce that we have a Senate companion bill in April. And Senator Markey feels that we're real close in that happening. And looking forward to pushing that along as well.
Pete, you said that you're meeting with some of the staffers here. And I'm just wondering, I don't know if you've had a couple of conversations yet, but what kind of questions are they asking? And I guess, obviously, I mean, you're the perfect person for this. You know everything about mechanical insulation. But what are some of the questions that are coming up so far? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Sure. It's good to ask. A lot of the questions are pertaining about mechanical insulation, because not many people know much about it, and it ends up being an educational seminar, if you will, explain to people what mechanical insulation is and how valuable it is to a building. Because when people see mechanical insulation, you know, they think they know what it is, credit to themselves, thinking about what insulation is, but they need to get an education of how mechanical insulation is so valuable. And the biggest question is, why is it necessary to modify existing language to include mechanical insulation in this bill? And this is what the bill is about. It's a very short bill, but the federal government has stringent guidelines on all federal buildings to conduct an energy audit of a building to make sure it's running efficiently. And actually, it's a good process of looking at everything within the building to be able to conserve energy, sustainability, and reduce pollution. But the problem is that mechanical insulation is overlooked. In the regulations, when they talk about insulation, automatically it just swings right over to the building envelope insulation, the pink stuff in the walls. Are the windows have a proper insulation value? Is the roof being insulated? Is the basement? Is the walls? And all of this attention goes to the insulation, but nobody's pulling their attention to the mechanical insulation. And it's my job as the subject matter expert, if you will, to be able to explain to either the representative or the staffers what actually mechanical insulation is. And once they have a good understanding of it, their eyes open up and they said, you know what, we never even thought about this. And I said, you're exactly correct. And the legislators that put the Energy Reduction Act in 2007 didn't think about it either. And what we're trying to do is just modify the inspection process just to be able to include mechanical insulation. It really is a no-brainer, but it has to be on the books in order for that to be properly evaluated. So it's a basic question, but it ends up being an education process for them to understand more about the mechanical insulation. And once they see the value of it, once they see how much money can be saved by just having the mechanical insulation properly installed, it becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're saving taxpayers' money. I mean, that should light them up right away. And I'm just wondering here, is this normal in Washington? I mean, there's so many things going on. It is a very politically charged year. You mentioned 41 co-sponsors. I guess my question to you is this. Why is this taking so long? Well, I mean, are they just not understanding the value to taxpayers on this? Or, I mean, well, you got a lot of reps you got to go through. I mean, there's, what, 500 plus when you throw in the Senate and all that. But the process, it's, and I've heard this many, many times, you know, legislation is like making sausage. It's real ugly. It takes a long time. but eventually it tastes pretty good once it's done. Are we in the same kind of scenario on this, Pete?
Yes. Yes, you're exactly correct. And I feel the same way. But, and I'll put it in layman's terms, the way it's explained to me when I, you know, when I speak to other people about it, unfortunately, it's just not sexy enough. It's not sexy enough for a congressman to get on the news that evening and be able to talk about it. I mean, it's not a hot button topic, and there's a lot of minutia, and there's a lot of bills that are promised going to save money for the taxpayers, and it just becomes, you know, a little bit of pink noise. From what I'm being told by the representatives, this is really a no-brainer. We just have to get it out of committee and be able to get it onto the floor. The sponsor, Congressman Weber and Congresswoman Sanchez, they have to be able to pull the trigger when they feel it's ready to have a vote on committee. And they say we want to get at least 40 co-sponsors, which we have. We're going to exceed that with this week's efforts. The fact that I am going into the Energy and Commerce Subcommittee for a PREP hearing is a good sign, telling me that it's going to be soon. Now, soon in my definition, but this is within a couple of hours. Soon in their right. definition could be within a couple of months. Uh-huh. And they equate this to, to something as simple as naming a post office after somebody. It takes several years for just to be able to push that legislation through to have a post office named after somebody. And if we can make this sexier than it is and make it more of a headline news item, I think it would progress further. But we're just stuck with this ideal of being able to save tax money. It kind of just like, we'll put that on the pile with everything else. And we're trying hard to be able to separate this from the other ones. I wish I had Taylor Swift on my short list of people I can go to help push this along. She hasn't returned any of my phone calls yet, though.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that might be a long wait, buddy.
It might.
Well, to your point, this is not a sexy issue, but it's one that needs to get finished. And I know you're very, again, the use the word diligent on here. And I know you're impatient, but eventually we're going to get there. And I didn't realize it took that long to name a post office. So that kind of sums it up right there. All right. Pete Almini joining us on our live line today. He is the head of the Mechanical Insulators Trust of the Insulators Union, Heat and Frost Insulators. Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com is a website you want to go to. Later in the show, we're going to check in with Latoya Mathis on behalf of the Food and Commercial Workers Local 75 based in Dayton, Ohio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org. This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Before we get back to Pete Almini, just got to do a shout-out here for the Cleveland Building Trades. They got a big apprenticeship career fair happening tonight in one of the suburbs in northeastern Ohio. This would be in Valley View. Pipefitters Local 120 on Halley Drive. Starts at 6, goes to 7:30. And I tell you, they got a lot of trades there. Doreen Cannon from the Plumbers Union is putting this all together. And at the last minute here, you can just show up, especially if you're in the northeastern Ohio area. It's good if you can call. The number is 216-459-0099. And right now they've got Pipefitters Local 120, Plumbers 55, Iron Workers 17, where we host America's Workforce. Bricklayers, Cement Masons, Electricians Local 38. They got two tables there. Sheet Metal Workers Local 33, Laborers Local 310. Let's see, the painters, the operating engineers, that'd be Local 18, the roofers, the carpenters, and I already mentioned the cement masons. So they're doing everything possible to get people involved in the trades, especially young people. If you don't want to go to college, no student debt. I'll tell you, that is definitely the path to the middle class. All right, let's go back to our live line, rejoin Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators. Pete, I know this subject that we're going to talk about is very near and dear to your heart. We're talking about suicide prevention, mental health awareness. And I know the Heat and Frost Insulators have worked tirelessly to come up with a program, and you have done that with IMAP, the Insulators Members Assistance Program. So, Pete, I'm going to let you pick it up from there. Talk to me about how this is being rolled out. Go ahead.
Great. Yes. And what we have done, we've evolved from, although we're going to constantly bring this to everyone's awareness, the importance of mental well-being and suicide prevention, that's always going to be a constant as far as getting the word out. But we have taken the next step to be able to evolve our leadership at the international level all the way down to the local level, where we are aggressively training our officers and our apprenticeship instructors on the warning signs and be able to look at an individual or be with our members for them to recognize some warning signs that we can possibly help. And we have employed two companies, Perspective and U-Turn, which gives us the capability of providing professional help and services to our members. And it's kind of unique because the reason we employ two companies, each one specifies in different areas in mental health. It's not just one EAP program that does it all. One provides initial treatment and counseling, and the other one provides long-term rehabilitation. And the combination of both companies is making IMAP, Insulators Member Assistance Program, different than any other program that we know of. And but it all starts, and nothing's going to happen until there's proper outreach. We have to be able to get the word out to our rank and file members and be able to repeatedly get that out and give them the confidence that if they reach out for such assistance, is that it's 100% confidentiality. The employer is not going to know who's seeking help. The union leaders are not going to know. Co-workers are not going to know. But there's a whole litany of items that go into mental well-being. And it goes into part of my education as well. It started out being suicide prevention. And then I got into drug addiction, legal drugs and illegal drugs, and opioids and fentanyl. And then we get into that area, then we have to get into the reasons why people are becoming dependent upon dependency upon drugs and or alcohol. And then we have stress. And then we have domestic issues and financial issues. And the list just goes on and on and on of potential stressors that weigh in on us. And what also makes this program unique is that it is not just available for the actual member, it is available for the family members as well. So if a member has a problem with, say, for example, alcoholism with their spouse, or a drug addiction with one of their children, the services and counseling is going to be there for them as well. And it also has the ability for a family member to reach out for these services, because there may be an issue with the member and the family member doesn't know how to deal with it. And they can reach out to these services and be able to help out mom and dad. And no one's going to recognize a problem sooner than a family member. And to be able to have that availability for family members is kind of crucial. But as I said, it's all about the outreach. And we have to be able to get that information out to our union leaders so they can disseminate it out to the rank and file. And we have several ways of doing it. We have lots of material, lots of electronic ways of getting the information out, but it still requires people to interact and to be able to outreach to our members and let them know that these services exist, and it's free of charge for them, for any of the members or their family.
Now, I know you're targeting the officers of the respective unions so far, mm-hmm. and I know this may be premature, but I'm just wondering, has there been some buy-in since you started this this training program, Pete?
Yes, there is. Surprisingly, it is. And usually I preface any discussion with this training with my own examples. And when I was the apprentice coordinator and I was the business manager, I was prepared for a lot of things that came across my desk. But there were always some issues that I was not prepared for. And it usually resulted in helping a member with some issues that were beyond my skill set. And then, you know, I give a couple examples, and when I go around the room and I see people's faces, other offices, they start sharing. You go, yeah, you're right, Pete. I had an instance where this happened. I had an instance where this has happened. And we all think about instances where we see people that, you know, maybe need some assistance and don't know where to go to be able to get that proper information. And I say it, I'll say it to anybody, if you don't think you're going to need it, I said, unfortunately, just wait. I said, there's going to be a time where you're going to have an instance on your hand and you're not going to know where to turn. I said, now with our IMAP program, you do have a place to turn if and when you need it.
Yeah. I think it's important to point out, and you kind of mentioned this in your talking points today, that you're not asking the respected officers to be counselors. You just want them to be the conduit. I mean, here's the information. I mean, they got a lot on their plate, let's be honest. And throwing this on there, they're not going to turn into a counselor overnight. There's people that are professional in that regard that you can be referred to. And I think that's, first of all, I think that's the important sell right now, to say, hey, here's the information. It works. It's proven. It's tested. Just pass it on. Is that pretty much what I'm hearing here?
You're spot on. We're not gonna pretend, and we're not trying to train our people to be professionals. That would be, inconceivable. And especially when, you know, and I relate it to our union crafts. Being part of the 14 building trades, we all specialize in something special. An insulator is not going to wire the building. That's for an electrician. And, sure. You know, we got to feel the same way when it comes to guiding our people and selecting the proper doctor. You know, you're not going to have heart surgery done by a dentist. You're not going to have a fillings done by a heart surgeon and so forth. And when it comes to mental well-being, same thing. We have to be able to hand that off to the professional who's going to be able to help the member and their family. We, the officers, and the international, and even the apprenticeship program and their instructors, and even influential people within the union, they just need to have the materials and the access ready so they can give it to somebody else. And it's you know, one of the mantras that are said, just call this number and just see what they say. There's no obligations, no cost, confidentiality. Maybe they can help you, maybe they can't. And it's our job as leaders of our unions is to get people to the services. Then they will figure out whether someone's just having an isolated bad day or is there something that they can help with.
Right.
And that's once we get into the hands of the professional, then that's all we can do. That's the best that we can do.
There you go. It's called IMAP, Insulators Members Assistance Program. Insulators Members Assistance Program on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators. Pete Almeany, Executive Director of the Mechanical Insulators Trust, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. You stay safe, stay strong, enjoy the Easter holiday weekend, and good luck to you on Capitol Hill. You got a lot of work to do, buddy, on that legislation, and I can't wait to hear the results next time we talk, okay?
Yes, sir, and everyone else have a happy Easter as well. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. LaToya Mathis is with the Food and Commercial Workers, Local 75 out of Dayton, and she'll be coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Are you an experienced mechanical insulator looking to take your career to the next level? Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio has steady work for a number of years. Insulators Local 50 offers a total wage and benefits package that can't be beat. It's not just the competitive wages. Local 50 also provides medical, vision, and dental insurance with no paycheck deductions for you and your family. Don't miss out on the chance to secure your future. Join us at Insulators Local 50. Earn great pay and the best benefits. Visit insulators50.com/AWF50 to fill out the online form, and a Local 50 representative will call to begin the process. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org is their website. All right, let's go to line number two. Joining us from Cincinnati, Ohio right now is LaToya Mathis. LaToya is a rep with the Food and Commercial Workers. That would be Local 75, which is right now sitting on 30,000 members in supermarkets, drugstores, food processing plants, packaging plants, healthcare facilities. And they got a pretty good territory, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. Now, LaToya, at the age of 15, started working at a Kroger store in Cincinnati. That was, 18 years ago, and for the last 7 years, she's been involved with the Food and Commercial Workers Local 75. So, LaToya, thank you for joining us today. Let me go back to the 18 years ago. This was a job you figured, well, you had to be going through high school at that time. I assume this was a part-time job, and look what you have become since that time. Talk to me about that journey, LaToya. Interesting one.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So like you stated, I started working at Kroger when I was 15 years old. My mom was like, hey, you're going to get you a job at Kroger. And I'm like, okay, great. So, you know, I started working at 15. I was a cashier. And then I started to work in the office to assist with, you know, transactions with customers and money orders and money services. And then when I became of age, 18 years old, they started training me to be an assistant customer service manager. So I did that for a while. And that was, you know, after high school, I went to college at University of Cincinnati. And my entire career, I always stayed working at Kroger as a union member and also an associate with Kroger. And I did about 17 and a half, almost 18 years with Kroger. And then in about 2017, I started getting heavily involved with the union. They came out with a free college program, and I was really excited to join into that program for free college because we all know that college is very expensive. So I jumped into that journey and became, you know, really started to see the value of the labor union, you know, because at 15, I never had any issues and really never really needed to call my union rep for any reason. But when I saw the free college program presented, I thought this is amazing and this is the value of the union. So I started to get heavily involved in the union and became a union steward, participated in several programs with the union, became a union steward, and ultimately was offered a position in 2017, 2018. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, the college program, was that like an associate's degree? Was it a four-year deal? And what kind of degree did you get?
Yep. So the college program started out as a associate's degree program. And then through, again, you know, the labor unions working, you know, close to the education system, it turned into a bachelor's program. So I was able to graduate from Eastern Gateway Community College in 2020 with a degree in business management with a minor in labor studies. And now I am currently attending the Central State University to finish my bachelor's degree in business management with a minor in labor studies as well.
LaToya Mathis, you are a woman on the move. I appreciate you coming on the show today. I love it. Now, you probably couldn't do this without having that union at your back, could you?
No, not at all. The union played an important role for sure.
Absolutely. And on top of it, you know, you're a black female. Women, yes. Minorities, you know, they have it tough. You know that. You know what's going on, yes, in America right now. And maybe you could speak to that as far as how the union kind of navigated you to where you are today. Can you kind of tell your story on that part?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And just as you stated, you know, as women, you know, sometimes we are often overlooked and marginalized, you know, although we do play a pivotal role in, you know, shaping the workforce and society and culture and, you know, a bunch of different areas. But, you know, to be a woman and to be a black woman and coming up in the labor movement, I think the union was, you know, so crucial in giving me the opportunities that I afforded to become, you know, what I am, you know, a graduate of college, you know, being one of the first people of my family to earn a degree was amazing. And because of the labor union that I was able to do that. It was the job protection and, you know, the union promoting gender equality and just all those things as women, especially black women that we face, you know, the union was there for me. And another thing that I thought was really important for the union was the representation and the mentorship that I sought and, you know, was able to be able to participate in, you know, being able to work for a labor union and see, you know, not only a female executive vice president, but a black female executive vice president of UFCW Local 75, Ms. Karen Brown. She's played a pivotal role in, you know, just mentorship and just being that representation. So, you know, you can think and look up and say, oh, I can be that. I can do that because you see, you know, representation within your work site. So, yeah, that was definitely important.
Well, just like America, unions have changed over the years. And I would imagine what you have done so far, you're not done yet. I could tell you're still moving. You probably have inspired other people like yourself. And are you at the point where you're mentoring other people like LaToya Mathis right now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I can just recall transitioning from a union member to a union steward, you know, and then ultimately to a union representative. And several workers, you know, would see me and they would say, oh, you know, I've never seen a woman, you know, union representative. I've been working here 20, 30 years and I've always seen, you know, men. And so they were really excited to see me. And also I have pulled out several young women and young Black women who are workers to come out and do different organizing campaigns and different member-to-member initiatives because, you know, they're inspired by me and my presence being a, you know, younger Black woman in the labor movement. And I think, you know, one of the comments that I usually always get when I pull those workers out are, oh, my God, I just really never thought I could do this. But when I saw you do it, that's when I knew I could. That's when I knew I should get involved with the labor movement. So it's been really great to inspire others like myself for sure.
Well, LaToya, I'm reading here about this Women's Network Biennial Convention. I guess it's the 15th Biennial Convention that's going to take place this May. I would imagine that you're going to play a big role in that. Can you explain what that's all about first?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that UFCW is great on is programming, and the Women's Network is a great example of highlighting women's contributions, achievements, and struggles, you know, throughout the labor movement and throughout women's history. You know, the Women's Network gathers women together to, you know, educate and discuss various topics, you know, including but not limited to, you know, self-defense skills and self-care and equal pay. You know, they host several different seminars and workshops that just increase the, you know, visibility of women and just the education surrounding those things. You know, as we celebrate Women's History Month, I actually had the pleasure of jumping on several different webinars and seminars. And, you know, some of the most recent things that we were discussing were, you know, about, again, just self-care and maternity and reproductive conversations. And then, you know, one of the biggest topics was, you know, women as we age. You know, we are mothers, we are students, we are fighters. And, you know, these are topics that people typically don't talk about, but the Women's Network does a great job at, again, educating and just highlighting those topics that some people are, you know, uncomfortable with communicating about. So it's just a great time to pull women from all over the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico together so that we can, you know, just network with one another and just learn from each other. So it'll be my first official convention. I did participate in some of the local conventions, but this will be my first time attending the National Women's Network Convention. And I'm really excited about it.
Well, you should be. Where is that going to take place, by the way, in May?
I believe it's in Las Vegas, but I have to double check because we have so many events going on. I got to get my information together, but I believe it's going to be in Las Vegas, but I have to double check.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I love the conversation we're having here. I would like to have you come back on the show after that convention and talk to me about what took place. You could be my reporter. You filled a lot of roles already. I want you to be my reporter. Can you handle that?
I can handle that, and it would be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. LaToya Mathis, thank you so much for joining us. LaToya, rep with Food and Commercial Workers Local 75. They're based in Dayton. They cover Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, 30,000 members strong. With somebody like you, you're going to be running that union one of these days. You know that, LaToya.
Hopefully so. It would be a pleasure. You know, again, like I said, it's really exciting to be able to, you know, tell my story. And, you know, explain to people how I started again at 15 years old as a cashier, just looking for a weekly paycheck to pay a cell phone bill. And it's turned into so many different things. So it's definitely a pleasure.
Yeah, it is. You never know what's going to happen in America. That's a good story and definitely one that we needed to share with our listeners. So you take care, stay safe, and stay strong, okay?
Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure. We'll be in touch really soon.
All right, I promise. All right, that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Government Affairs Director, the AFL-CIO, and the latest from Laborers International. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.